Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining us. It's great to be with you, as always. It's a pleasure to be part of your day. Thank you for being part of mine. Our phone number is 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast, 800-531-3815. I'm very happy to remind you that today is Abraham Lincoln's birthday, and because of that, I've invited the president to join us on the show. President Abraham Lincoln is with us right now, and as you know, he's known as the great emancipator, one of the greatest presidents of all time in the history of the United States. There's so many things in this world that are better because he lived, not only lived, but because he persevered. And I'd like to introduce you to him now. This is, I think, maybe about the fourth or fifth time that President Lincoln has joined us on the show on his birthday. President Lincoln, welcome back.
Hello, how are you today? I'm so glad to be with you. This is an annual event, isn't it?
It's gotten to be that way, sir, and I really appreciate you joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on our show. Happy birthday, by the way.
1 year older. I can't believe how old I'm getting. In fact, I don't even want to admit I'm really old. I think I told you last year that there's probably only one advantage about being as old as I am, and that there's no peer pressure.
Well, I believe you were born in 1809. So what would that make you? I'm thinking almost. Pretty. As you say, you don't have too many peers. No peer pressure. Mr. President Lincoln, one of the things that you've done every year that you've joined us that's just been so meaningful to me, and I know to my audience, is you've recited that wonderful speech that you gave in Gettysburg. I believe it was around 1863. It was over the 4th of July holiday in 1863. Would you please do that again for us now, the Gettysburg Address?
I'd be happy to do it. Let me sort of just remind the listeners of what that all was about. I was invited to dedicate the military cemetery at Gettysburg, took place one of the bloodiest battles of the Civil War. It was a breakdown of our ability as Americans to talk and to compromise, and finally that great bloodletting. And so I came down to the cemetery, and this is what I said. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty, and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We're met on a great battlefield of that war. We've come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they here gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
President Lincoln, thank you for that. Thank you for your service to our country. Thank you for joining us again on this this year's birthday. We appreciate it very much, and we'll see you next year. And when we come back, folks, right after these messages, we're going to be visiting with our good friend Gene Greissman, who knows all about President Lincoln, because he wrote a book called The Words Lincoln Lived By. Tony Till, stay with us. Back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get a chance. jbsba.com. Gene Greissman is with us, folks. The president has gone. President Lincoln is not with us anymore. He was here long enough to recite the Gettysburg Address and say hello to us. Somebody who knows the president very well, because he's been studying this man for a long time. He's one of the top Lincoln portrayers in the world. Gene Greissman, the author of The Words Lincoln Lived By. He's also our good friend. Gene, welcome back.
I'm glad to be with you. It's always fun, Jim.
It's good to have you back with us, Gene. And appreciate you allowing the president to visit with us in the last segment.
Yes, I like to bring Mr. Lincoln in whenever I can get him up.
He doesn't get up too early these days, though, does he?
No, your listeners should know that I reside on the West Coast. I'm in Marina Del Rey, and it's approaching 6 o'clock.
But the sun's up where I am, and I'm sending it on over to you, Gene, so it'll
yes,
be there
indeed.
In just a few minutes.
I'll be looking forward to it. Mr. Lincoln will, too. He's a little drowsy.
Gene, in the earlier hour of the show, I recited some of the things that we know about Abraham Lincoln. I was pointing out the fact that that Mr. Lincoln had failed numerous humiliating, excruciating, heartbreaking times in his career, and yet he continued. And even when he actually rose to the world stage and made an influence that is still with us today, not only in the United States but around the world, even during that time, it was a time of failure in any given day, and a time of excruciating pain and hard decisions. And yet he persevered, didn't he?
Well, indeed. Actually, on the battlefield, you're quite right, during the Civil War, it was just one disaster after another. He had awfully incompetent generals. And so it was... it's easy for us to look back on Lincoln today and say, oh, there's the man that's going to be regarded as one of the most beloved presidents in American history.
He didn't feel beloved then, though.
No, and like in his 30s or 40s, there was no assurance that he would come out at the end as one of the greats.
And he probably didn't die thinking he was great either, did he?
Well, I think that, now, that's an interesting point. He certainly didn't think the Gettysburg Address was one of his great speeches.
He even said that in the speech. You know, people will little remember these words.
That's exactly right. And afterwards, he had told one of his best friends that he didn't think that speech would scowl, that is, a plow that would cut through the earth. But now, the night that Lincoln was assassinated, Mary later said that day might have been the happiest day of his life, because he realized that on that day that the Union had been preserved, the war was almost over, mm-hmm. and slavery was on its way to extinction.
So maybe he had some satisfaction.
I think that last day maybe he did.
We'd like to think that
God gave him that one good day when he realized, you know, what I'm here for, I've done.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I read the list. I mean, he had two business failures.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 campaign defeats.
Mm-hmm.
At least six that I'm counting here. He lost a fiance. Didn't they lose at least one child in the White House before he died?
He lost Willie in the White House, and then he lost Eddie in Springfield before he even went to Washington.
That's right. So he'd already lost two children.
Both of those broke his heart.
Yeah, yeah. And yet he persevered. And the point that I made earlier in the show, Gene, is when we have setbacks, when we have defeats, when we have failures, you know, we've got to look at it as the hardening of our steel, the hardening of our metal, don't we?
Absolutely. In fact, you and I were talking during the break. There's a chapter in the words Lincoln lived by. It's on resourcefulness.
It's on page 68.
Yes. And here's a quote of his. He said, "Determine that the thing can and shall be done, and then we shall find the way." That's the attitude that always seemed to just go through every fiber of Lincoln's being.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just find out what needs to be done, and then we'll find a way to do it. And in that sense, he embodied what is one of the big strengths of America and Americans. We are a problem-solving people. We are an optimistic people. We are resourceful people. And that was just something that was true of Lincoln. And I know your audience is focused, directed towards small business people. I think that that's what makes small businesses go. Owners who believe we can find a way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And not to take anything away from President Lincoln, but I know that he was an avid reader, and so I wonder, when I read these words, I wondered if he had read the story of Hannibal, because when Hannibal was going through the Alps on the elephants, they were stuck and they couldn't get through a pass, and his generals came to him and said, "How are we going to do this?" He said, "We will either find a way or make a way."
I'm and sure so, Lincoln knew that.
I bet he did, and of course,
in those days, education for youngsters was much more, it had much more of a focus on history.
Right. Folks, when we come back, Gene's going to talk to us about some of the similarities between President Lincoln and President Washington, the father of our country. Right after these messages, it's 10 Till. Carlos Santana will take us out. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I want to get right into this because I've got a lot to talk about with our good friend Gene Griceman. I want to remind you folks, when I talk to you about, when I introduce these people like Gene and other members of our Brain Trust, I want to remind you that these people have already been pre-qualified by me. These are people that I believe, our Brain Trust members are people that I believe have something to say that's worthy of your time, and if you should choose to, worthy of your money. If there are a lot of people who want to be on this show who I don't let on the show because I don't think that what they have to say is worthy of your time and money, at least not through my outlet. But Gene Griceman is right up on the top of our list, and he's just got so much to offer. There's another book that I want you to know about, Time Tactics of Very Successful People. He's also got a tape series, the Path to High Achievement. He talks about achievement and making sure that you make the most out of your life, and also, of course, his book called The Words Lincoln Lived By, which is one of my favorites. You've heard me say that before. And, Gene, your website is called presidentlincoln.com?
Yes, it's one word, presidentlincoln.com. And if they will come to that website and contact me, I will make sure they'll be able to find what I'm about to talk about in just a few minutes.
Right. We're going to talk about the similarities between President Lincoln and President Washington. But also, they can find out about your books and your tapes.
Yes, indeed.
You've got your newsletter that you send out as well. That's free.
Yes.
And that comes out every month or so?
It's once a quarter.
Once a quarter. Okay. Talk to us about the similarities between Lincoln and Washington.
Well, first of all, I was aware of how many dissimilarities there were. Let me just give them, and then the similarities are remarkable. First of all, Washington was rich. As we know, Lincoln was poor. Washington came from aristocracy. Lincoln's family was obscure and undistinguished. Washington had extensive experience in the military. He became a general. Lincoln never rose above the rank of captain, and his military experience was limited to a few weeks in the Black Hawk War.
Mm-hmm.
Washington was a handsome man who was majestic in his bearing. Few ever call Lincoln handsome or majestic looking. Now, listen to the similarities, however. Both were tall men for their times. Washington was 6 feet three, Lincoln 6 feet four.
He's actually the tallest, isn't he?
Yes.
From all of our presidents.
That's right. Both fought in Indian Wars. Here's one a lot of your listeners may not know. Both were athletes. Both were excellent wrestlers and horsemen.
Hmm.
Both lacked formal schooling. Washington received none at all. He was tutored at home. Lincoln had about 1 year's schooling. Both were surveyors. Both were known for having volcanic tempers and for their ability to control them. Both were cautious with their words. For example, Washington said virtually nothing in public during the Constitutional Convention.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln was an accomplished storyteller, but when it came to disclosing his innermost thoughts, a friend called him the most closed-mouthed man I ever knew. Both loved the theater. Of course, it turns out Lincoln loved it a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
Both loved reading. Both married women from wealthy, prominent families. Both attended church services, read the Bible, and prayed. But neither was a communicant of any denomination. And then finally, both suffered many defeats and setbacks. During the Revolutionary War, which went on for years, Washington lost more battles than he won. But he won the one that counted, the last one. Lincoln's setbacks were so frequent, well known, that you mentioned them on your broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. You know, Washington, there was a quote that I included in an article that I wrote once about Washington. He actually said something, I think the exact words were, "I fear the jig is up." And it was one point where he really felt that all was lost. And
right.
and yet they kept going.
Well, especially during the winter, his army dwindled to almost
mm-hmm.
nothing. There was no money to pay them. In fact, it was a lucky thing that he married a wealthy woman because he paid the troops out of his own pocket for quite a while.
Right. Well, small business owners can take a lesson from these two gentlemen, from these two great men in history, and perseverance, the willingness to have courage and to believe in your own, believe in yourself, and to believe in your vision. Small business owners have got to rely on that all the time, Gene.
There's a sense in which Washington was an entrepreneur himself in creating an army when one didn't exist.
Absolutely, yeah. There's no question about that, Gene. Thank you so much for everything that you do for us, not only today, but for all the times in the past, and hopefully all the times in the future.
I look forward to it. I don't know where the time goes when we talk.
Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
It does.
Gene Griceman, ladies and gentlemen, The Words Lincoln Lived By, still available. Check it out wherever books are sold, especially online. The last name is spelled G-R-I-E-S-S-M-A-N. The I before the E, Gene Griceman. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.